Good morning again, everybody. You know what I loved? All those songs tie into my message. The hymns, I don't know who picked the songs, Brother Steve or Ange, whoever, it doesn't matter. I don't communicate with them, but they have something to do with what I was going to preach, so that's awesome. You know, the promises of God is what we stand here for. If we would not have the promises of God, I pity us all. If we would not have the anointing to go with what we believe in, we're as dead and dried out as any other religion. I hope we're not dead and dried out. I hope the power of the Holy Spirit is present and evident even in my preaching. I feel His presence when I speak up here, when I pray, when we pray. I feel His tangible presence. And it's not easy to, it's not hard to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. It's hard to explain, to put into words what it means, what it feels like. I guess it does feel a little bit like opening a bottle of wine and drinking it without the side effects. So it's a good spirit. Not that I've ever opened a bottle of wine and drank it. So that's a post. Why are you laughing? By the way, the Bible is not against drinking. For those who are always against drinking, against alcohol, for all you people always preaching against alcohol, I want to hear a sermon against gluttony. Amen. Amen. Try bringing one of those sermons too, because they're both in the same. Don't just pick the one that you can abstain from very easily. Try staying off food, some of you, for a month. I was listening to a Christian comedian who was talking about explaining God. He says celebrities always come to him and say, "Well, explain God to me." Well, he says, "Well, how do I explain God? If I can explain God, then He's not God. He's above. He's outside that dimension, or I can explain Him." But he says, "Best thing that came to me was this. It's like God is like the navigation device in your car. Okay. You set your destination is set, and it says, okay, go 10 blocks and then turn right. But you go 10 blocks and turn left. The device will not condemn you. It'll reroute you from there. It'll say, okay, now your destination is from there. This is how you have to go. So it doesn't abandon what you're supposed to do. It reroutes you. That's how God does. That's song you were just singing. It's the goodness of God right now that leads us to repentance. Whatever path you choose, He will still choose something that's of His goodness that will guide you in the right direction to Him. So the device will reconfigure your route to your set destination. It'll still continue based upon where you're presently at. So the problem is, if you keep making the wrong turns, the road conditions may be different, and you may be running out of time. Amen. That's what you're starting to run into if you keep making the wrong turns. So you want to be very sensitive to the voice that is calling, which is the Holy Spirit, and do what He says, and you will end up right at God. And that comes down to my last week's message. You have to want to know the truth. All of Christianity is hinged on one thing. Or this whole thing that we're in, this whole world setting that we're in, is hinged on one thing. The people who want the truth and those who don't care for the truth. Do you want the truth in your life? Do you want to know the truth about why you're not getting healed? Do you want to know the truth about why, how to get saved? About how to get to heaven? How to do whatever? God will somehow funnel the truth to you. It's right in front of you. All you have to do is pay attention. So in Romans 2, verse 4, song was perfect for this that you just sang. It's the goodness of God. You know, I just love that woman, that C.C. Winans. When you listen to her, you see the epitome of what Jesus Christ can do to somebody who's filled with Him. She just commands authority in a gracious way. You listen to her talk, she has no arrogance whatsoever. It's gentle, but she has authority. that woman. When she sings, she has even more authority. It's just, she blesses me, that woman, I'll tell you. And yes, I love when women are in charge like that. That is awesome for the church. It's good for us that we have different flavors and bring us the gospel. It's just so beautiful. In Romans 2, verse 4, out of the New King James Version, it says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" This is called the dispensation of grace era. We're in the hour of the Gentile where we're living under grace. That's why we see so little of God's judgment. We're living under grace. You see the rain fall on the good and the evil alike. Unless a country 100% puts God aside and say, "We don't want nothing to do with you, the country and its people," you will see poverty. You look at North Korea, study North Korea, you will see poverty. You look at some countries who have given their constitutions over to witchcraft and to the demonic realm, they are filled with poverty. But those that just acknowledge and allow their people the freedom to acknowledge God, you will see prosperity. It's just the way God, it's the goodness of God. But you always see the hand of Satan also in everything. Satan is the one that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, not God. So again, it's God's goodness right now that leads us to repent, that leads you to repentance. So God displays his goodness to us so that his goodness can also be displayed to the unbelievers around us. So you're part of the solution that God has set to draw the unbeliever to him through his goodness. Don't open your mouth unless it's the goodness of God that flows out of it. Rather be quiet. Are we being a masterpiece of God's goodness to the unsaved and saved alike, both? Or are we always making judgmental comments about everything and everybody? I want you to think about that. Don't let that, what I just said, pass by this morning and it's done. Let this be part of your everyday thinking of what's going to come out of your mouth. If what I'm going to say, is it going to destroy or build up? If it's meant for correction, use grace. Have grace. Be seasoned with grace. Seasoned with salt means that half flavor when you say something. Don't do it in a cold, crude, in a way where you have no PR, no tact. Make sure that you think of the person that you're talking to, that if it brings a positive reaction out of him, or a good reaction where it'll cause him to actually think about what he's doing. So think about that. Are we always making judgmental comments about everything and everybody when we see somebody or walks in? Or do we pray and have something constructive to say? So having said that, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for this beautiful morning that you have given us. The grace for another day. Lord, I know we're running out of time. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that we will redeem the time, because we know the days are evil. So you will be with us this morning. You let the power of your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit, be the forefront. Less of us, more of you. Let every man, let the word of God be true and every man a liar. So we want your word to be put forth as the truth and the final truth. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. You may be seated. So my message this morning would be, perilous times shall come, out of Timothy. So you may entitle this, my title would be, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, out of the New King James Version, starts with this: "For God has not given," this is now to us first of all, "for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now what I'm using this verse for is a reflection. This is a mirror. Look, everybody look in the mirror right now at this verse. Do you have the spirit? Do you have a spirit? Do you have fear? Because he has not given us a spirit of fear, If you have fear, you're lacking the other parts. But if you have, know you have that power and that authority and that love and that sound mind, then you have His Holy Spirit within you. So you are either one of those two. If you're full of fear, you do not have love or a sound mind. You can't. You're under confusion and under stress of what's coming. But if you trust God, like the song we sang, standing on the promises, if you know how to stand on the promises of God, that's why it's important. I want to ask a bit of a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. How many of you read your Bible daily? You don't have to show your hands, but I just want you to think about it. If you read your Bible daily, it means that you have a relationship with God. You're communicating with Him. And you will understand and know His promises, what He has for you. If you do not read His Bible, how do you expect to know what His promises are for you? Because somebody told them. It's not good enough to have them by somebody telling. You need to know them for yourself. Because somebody can come along with something else that these promises promise you from a twisted point of view and give you something that is totally wrong, and you might believe that lie. So it is very important that you know Scripture through the Spirit, the light of the Spirit. Scripture has destroyed a lot of people. And you know why? All religions come from Scripture, because they take things out of context and apart from what the Holy Spirit meant it to be. So the Holy Spirit is there to enlighten us what Scripture means. Don't try to figure it out with your natural mind, because it is not there for us to figure out with your natural mind. It is meant for a spiritual man. In 2 Timothy verse 3, that's where my Scripture starts about the perilous days. Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5, it says, "But know this, that in the last days," we're there, "perilous times shall come," will come. Then it describes now what we'll be seeing. "For men," which means mankind, does not just mean men, it means mankind, "will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Does this sound familiar? "Unthankful, unholy," like we're living in an incredible, unthankful society where nobody wants to thank God anymore about anything. Now, they don't even acknowledge God, so why would they even thank Him? Verse 3, "They're unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." And the Apostle Paul tells us, and from such people, that's the ones you want to stay apart from. Who are those anyway? This simply means religious people who have an appearance of godliness, but in secret are practicing all of the above. They put on that nice show, just like the Pharisees. There is only one group of people that Jesus had a quarrel with. I wouldn't even mention them. Study it for yourself. He did not cater to them, even though He hung out with sinners and what we would call the people of the low life. That's who He hung out with. But the religious crowd who put on a facade or a front of their piousness, Jesus would have nothing to do with them. Actually, He called them out. He had pretty harsh words for them. So, having said that about what's coming, these perilous times, in Hebrews 12, 26 to 29, that's also out of the New King James Version, it says, "Whose voice," it's talking about God here, back in when He talked to the children of Israel, "whose voice then shook the earth, but now," jumping ahead, living the last days, "but now He has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only earth, but also heaven." Verse 27, "And now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken." In other words, the things that are not set on the foundation of Jesus Christ will be shook. And if you're not on that foundation, it will crumble that foundation. As of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That means if your foundation is Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. This is a promise you need to put in your heart and from your heart to your mind. When Satan comes along with doubt, you cannot and will not be shaken by what's coming, because you're set on that promise. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, where is the kingdom of God? Can anybody say where the kingdom of God is? It's within us. We have received a kingdom within us that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace. What does having grace mean? By which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So that's all the things that are not mentioned on the above scripture that I mentioned about all those things that the religious crowd has. For our God is a consuming fire, and he will judge with his eyes, that consuming fire out of his eyes. In 2 Timothy verse 4, verse 1 to 5, it says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. See, we are already judged because we have the kingdom of God within us. He's telling us to do this. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. So that means all the time. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all patience or long-suffering and teaching. This is where it gets catchy here. There's the catch about whether you want the truth or not. For the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears. That means they want to hear things that are not true. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, in other words, to lies. They will believe a lie, my last week's message, that God has given them over to believe a lie because they love not the truth. So to all those that do not want the truth, there is a horrible end that awaits you if you do not turn, or if you turn away from the truth. But you, he tells Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is what Paul is telling Timothy here, that we as believers, or he as an evangelist, should fulfill his ministry and not worry about any of the laws that the then governments passed to keep him from preaching the gospel. And that was, there was under severe persecution. Paul himself was in prison for preaching the gospel here. In Ephesians 6, verse 12 and 13, again back to the warfare, what we need to do. This is what we are fighting against. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I know I've had this scripture lots of times, and it always needs to be refreshed in our minds of what we're fighting against. We're fighting against a relentless battle, and we need to be likewise relentless. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There is another promise. If you do not know what you can do in the face of evil, you will be wounded very badly. Not lose your salvation, you'll be wounded. So you need to take up the promise of the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, which is here upon us. So let's talk a little bit about spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places are twisted evil spirits that lie and deceive and orchestrate the wickedness, in other words, twisted perversion that takes place on earth. They twist the truth just enough where you could believe it as the truth. They're not black and white. They take what you've got and just twist it. That's all they do. Wicked is simply something twisted out of its normal condition, wrong and unhealthy. But you hardly, if you do not have the spirit of discernment within you, you will miss it. So you better have a spirit of discernment. The amount of victory that these evil beings, these powers of darkness get to enjoy depends on you and me, the church. Are we, the church, just apologists, always on the defense? Or are we truly engaged in spiritual warfare, advancing toward the gates of hell, knowing in our leader's name we will truly triumph over every foe? Amen. The time is coming. This will happen. You just better be on the right side of this. You want to be on the side. You remember the 10 virgins? The 5 were foolish. 5 were wise. The 5 foolish ones did not have oil. That means they had all the teachings. They have everything that I'm talking about. They had that facade, but they lacked the spirit that it needed to be become born again. And after the midnight cry was made, they could dialogue back and forth. So they were already in the spirit, ready to met the bridegroom, and they told him, sorry, we cannot give you our oil. You have to go buy your own oil. So we will triumph over every foe, and the last enemy to be defeated is death and the grave. First it'll be the grave, and then it's going to be death. How is that going to happen? When the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive shall be changed. There's two versions in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 15, it says we will be changed. We shall not all die. Some of us will be changed. In Corinthians, Thessalonians, it says, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But there's something going to happen before that. He explains it in Corinthians, where it says, we shall not all sleep, we shall be changed. So that is the defying moment of death, where we will not even die. We will be walk, it'll be like a shadow. We'll walk from this body into our spiritual body. Outside of being thrown into the lake of fire and also the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this will be one of the biggest defeats Satan and his hordes will ever experience, is that moment. That's why there is so much opposition against the rapture. They know these days are evil, and Satan has deceived many. But when this will happen, there will be an awakening that has never, ever happened. It happened a bit in the early church, where Jesus was crucified. Look at the signs and wonders Jesus did. He raised Lazarus from the grave, and yet look what they wanted to do with him. They wanted to stone kill him. They wanted to get rid of Lazarus, to hide, instead of coming and saying, okay, my God, look what we got here. We better turn to him. They wanted to hide the evidence. That's how evil these people, those are the religious leaders, by the way, and the leaders of the time. They wanted to hide this. But this one will not be hidden. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I will just go into my own with scripture, because what has happened before will happen again. Amen. There is no secrets anymore. There's just repeats. When Jesus rose from the grave, many of the saints rose out of the city, out of their graves, and appeared into the city. When the apostles preached the gospel, and they did have signs and wonders, but they preached, thousands came to Jesus. By the thousands they came. They even made statements like this. They turned the world upside down. And then Constantine came along and made Christianity the norm, like the religion of the year, which stopped persecution. Basically, he twisted it. They twisted the truth just enough where persecution stopped, because he made the religion, it was the accepted religion, Christianity. You can read it in history. And that basically brought an end to persecution And it was in a bad way because the church grew under persecution. This is coming again. During the tribulation, you can read in Revelation, where all of a sudden, there was a group of people in front of, up in heaven, which John could not number. He says, the number was so big that I could not number it. And he asked, who are these? He says, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Where did they all of a sudden come from, this group of people? I'll give you a clue. I think I've preached on this before, but I'll preach it. Different people need to hear it. When the dead in Christ shall rise, there could be a space, maybe only for seconds, maybe only minutes, that these dead can appear again into our home places, our cities, our houses, and those children could tell everybody about Jesus, what's coming. Remember, in the tribulation, they don't say that there is no God. They blaspheme God. So something switched. Right now, it's prove us that there is a God, like that there is a God. We have as much proof as they do that there isn't. Like it's an argument that'll go on forever. There will be no more argument then. There will be black and white. You will have to literally choose, make a decision. I hate God. I don't want nothing to do with him. I choose not to believe these risen saints and these kids that came out of their grave or all the dead ones. They will appear unto many and they will help spread the gospel. It'll be the last spreading of the gospel by the church. After that, God has his elect that'll preach the gospel. It'll be an angel flying around during the 7 years. An angel flying around preaching the everlasting gospel. The two witnesses will preach the gospel, and then 144,000 will also preach the gospel, not the church. After Revelation 4, the church is not mentioned once again till the end. So during the tribulation, it is not even the saints that preach the gospel. It is the witnesses, two witnesses, and an angel preaching the everlasting gospel. So for you who want to stay back and preach the gospel during the tribulation, well, good luck with that. So this is one of the biggest defeats that Satan and his hordes will ever experience. When your kids, your loved ones, that if you've even had a baby, a miscarriage, that kid will appear, will even come in out of its grave and have the ability to appear. And it's not going to be this little. It's going to be a grown to wherever the age it is. Remember, life will continue. We're not on a cloud playing with up in heaven, playing on a harp, some dull music or whatever it is, the world, and eating a Philadelphia cream cheese. It doesn't happen that way. It's far more to what we're experiencing here, except beautiful. We're going to a place that is out of this world. And for all those who say, when use that scripture, no man that is alive can be die and go to heaven and come back, that use that scripture, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. Read the next verse. But God has shown it to who? Unto us. So if you are born again, you have the ability to see the spirit world and to be shown what God has for you, if you only dare, and if he allows it and wants you to. So brothers and sisters, look around you. We are living in the last days. We are living in perilous times. Are you ready and anticipating the Lord's return? Think about it. Are you really, truly ready if he would appear right now? Are you redeeming the time because the days are evil? Are your oil lamps going to be full of the good oil, the Holy Spirit, when the midnight cry is made? Remember, the coming that we're waiting for is going to be a surprise coming, only to certain people, not to the church. It's not going to be. We are not in darkness. That day will not overtake us. When the midnight cry is made, are you going to be anticipating that cry? We shall all be part of that final trumpet blast where we, when we exhibit and proclaim what we believe in, that we are nearing the end. So when it does sound, it will be a natural sound for us to hear instead of a frightening one. If you're anxious over that, fall on your knees before God and cry and ask for forgiveness. Repent, turn to him, and remember the blood of Jesus Christ has the ability to cleanse you from all your sins. Turn to him. Don't try with your own efforts then to live a godly life. Connect to him and he will produce fruit through you. Abide in the vine and you will bear much fruit. Amen.